The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with John DeMaster.
Authorities in Belgium renewing their calls for help finding a suspect in last week's deadly Brussels bombings. The fresh plea for information about the so-called man in white comes as the death toll rises to 35. He's shown on security video pushing a loaded baggage cart alongside two suicide bombers who died in the attack in Brussels last Tuesday. 3 days of mourning are underway in Pakistan, the prime minister declaring the mourning period after a suicide bombing kills nearly 70 people. Witnesses were shaken and horrified.
Very sad and feeling so upset.
A breakaway faction of the Pakistani Taliban claiming responsibility for the attack on Christian families celebrating Easter in the city of Lahore. And doctors in New York not writing prescriptions anymore, the state becoming the first to require doctors to write and send prescriptions electronically. It's an effort to curb drug abuse and cut down on prescription fraud. This is USA Radio News.
Hello, I'm Aaron, a student at Hillsdale College. Here is Hillsdale President Larry Arnn on why Americans should study the presidency.
People should study the American presidency because it's one of the three branches of government, and it's the part that acts. And so when the government gets ready to do something to us or to our allies or enemies in the world, it's the executive branch that does it. And there's some reason to fear it these days. It's an awesome power. But in addition, there's a series of constraints on it. One of them is, there's an amount of time he's got, and then he's got to go back to the people. Another is, he has to do things that are lawful, and he doesn't get to make the laws. And so a constitutional executive is a very powerful thing, operating under the constraints and for the purposes of the Constitution of the United States.
This Constitution Minute was brought to you by Hillsdale College. To receive a free pocket Constitution and declaration, go to constitutionminute.com.
Republican presidential frontrunner Donald Trump slams the president's willingness to allow refugees into the United States.
You would almost say it's disgraceful. You can't even imagine that a man could make those statements, especially a president of this country. We need protection. We need borders.
Trump on Fox News saying the current administration's open-door policy could lead to the downfall of America. He referred to the San Bernardino shooting in December as an example of why the United States needs security. All federal prosecutors set up a new round of interviews about Hillary Clinton's emails as Secretary of State. The LA Times saying that some of her closest longtime aides will be interviewed. The investigation focused on whether the Democratic presidential frontrunner mishandled classified information. And former Illinois Governor Rod Blagojevich may learn today whether his appeal will be heard by the U.S. Supreme Court. Chicago Tribune saying his petition to the High Court was deliberated by one of the justices on Friday. He was sentenced to 14 years in prison in 2012 for wrongdoing while serving as governor. This is USA Radio News.
Have you been to conservativetribune.com? Now, this is one of the most visited news sites in the entire world, and the reason is simple. Conservativetribune.com delivers edgy and bold commentary of the news. They're unapologetically pro-America, unabashedly conservative. At conservativetribune.com, they don't make apologies for who they are or what they say. And if you're looking for more than just boring stories and simple thought, you go to conservativetribune.com. That's conservativetribune.com.
Do you ever think about your kidneys? Probably not, because they do their vital work so quietly. National Kidney Month is entering its last week today, and the American Kidney Fund has been helping people ward off kidney disease.
Adopt the sort of heart-healthy, overall healthy lifestyle that we recommend, for example, to ward off heart disease. So this includes making sure that you're eating a healthy diet, making sure that you have a good weight, and that your blood pressure is well controlled.
That's Dr. Orlando Gutierrez, the group's chief of medical affairs, and he says the American Kidney Fund has been encouraging kidney health this month through Kidney Action Days with free health screenings in select cities across the country. You can learn more at kidneyfund.org. The Oculus Rift virtual reality headset hits the market today. People who pre-ordered that device, developed by Facebook, will get their units over the next several weeks. The company scrambling to meet demand for the $599 headsets. And part of the joy of being a child on Easter weekend is being part of an Easter egg hunt. Benita Conrad with the Christ United Methodist Church says their egg hunt gives them the opportunity to teach kids about their church.
It's just a fun time for them to come inside and see what the church is about and find Easter egg hunts. And also we took about 10 minutes at the beginning and told them about the true meaning of Easter.
But parents behaving badly forced the candy company to cancel an Easter egg hunt. Pez Candy abruptly calling off the annual Easter event in Connecticut after parents stormed the fields and shoved people out of the way to get at the candy. This is USA Radio News.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program. No drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimost Resonant Frequency Technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning, fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective, and you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor supervised. Schedule a body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited time offer, so they can't wait to see you look great.
So call 888-718-7077. That's 888-718-7077. Or visit njthin.com. That's njthin.com.
Local weather here at HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Rain likely today. Maybe a slight drizzle. Becoming sunny later on. High in the 60s. Tonight, partly cloudy. Low in the mid-30s. Tuesday, sunny and breezy. High in the 50s. Clear on the overnight. Tuesday night, low. Maybe down around 30. Wednesday, sunny. High in the upper 50s. Down in the 40s overnight Wednesday. Showers likely on Thursday in the afternoon. Otherwise, it'll have some sunshine, high near 66. Showers likely on Thursday night, low in the 50s. And again on Friday, showers, but hopefully all clear for the weekend. Stay tuned for Chef Bill's Table. Hey, welcome to the table. Chef Bill here. The chef at Jake's Restaurant locally here in Flemington. Hitting our 25-year anniversary this month. Doesn't seem like it's been that long, but a lot of people have grown up around our little restaurant there. Still keep trying to slug it out every day. Yesterday, of course, being Easter. Seems like Easter's a lot of activities on Easter, and it was a nice day, so I don't know how busy the restaurants were. Still a lot of sports activities, and I think, well, maybe people are taking the time to cook a meal at home. Let's see, food holidays, well, it's a long ways till Mother's Day now, so hopefully April brings some enjoyment. Maybe the weather's nice. I know out west they're still looking for the snow and things like that. Hopefully the growers can get their planting done. Let's see, food celebrations this week. Nothing hits me out. Let's see, turkey neck soup is on the 30th. Oranges and lemons on the 31st. Carrots on the 4th. That's pretty good. Carrots are, people think of little small carrots, one of the early vegetables to come. It's still a root vegetable from winter, but we're looking for those small ones coming out now. So, if you had Easter dinner at home, what did you have? Did you have a ham or a lamb? I always think of those two roasts. We'll run those on special. on Easter. I was hoping to get soft shell crabs, but storms along the coast down south kind of prevented that. So we'll look for the soft shells pretty soon. Though once it gets warm, people think of the springtime, the soft shell crabs, once the water gets a little bit warmer. So if you had a roast, what did you have? Did you have ham? Did you have lamb? Did you have brunch? Did you do mid-afternoon dinner or dinner at night? And they said, you know, a lot of people have things scheduled, even though it is a religious holiday for many people. And now if you've had a big meal, what do you do with the leftovers? Got some ideas on that today. But, the other thing, I was thinking about lamb. And curious as to why lamb at least appears to be so expensive. Now, part of the reason is there's probably not a big demand in this country, even though many of us, many of the our ancestors came from countries that consume a lot of lamb. In fact, lamb is probably the second most consumed red meat. Goats, the first, many cultures. And lamb is second. You think of, you know, it's a nice small roast. I always liked it for a small family roast. And the flavor, American lamb, of course, is it's not just grass-fed. It's finished on grain. It's very mild, the roast I had yesterday. Very tender, though. It's like a real, I mean, if you do compare the pricing for a leg of lamb, and I think you have to compare that to, if you're comparing it to beef, it would have to be something like a sirloin to be that tender. Very, very tender, very mild flavor. I think people maybe were put off with the what they perceived to be the gamey flavor, the lamby flavor, and that may have come from years ago when people ate what was called mutton, something that was over a year old. The lamb is out by, or to call it lamb, it has to be less than a year. Or a year old, a yearling, they used to call them. And, you know, there's not really a lot of, the meat-to-bone ratio isn't as good. You can't fatten the lamb up like you do the beef. So you've got not much yield out of the animal. You still have to raise it. You still have to care for it. And I think something I read about the wool industry also has a little effect on that. When synthetic fabrics kind of came along and lessened the demand for wool, of course, now you've got the lambs that you could sell the meat and the wool, or the fleece, rather, for the wool, and now you don't really have that extra income. So it's all, you know, it's dollars and cents. Probably a good way to get lamb, though, is from local. That's one of the proteins that lambs and the hogs, they seem to, little piggies, right? They seem to be the ones that local producers can do fairly easy. They're young, again, young animals, and beef cattle. Beef are expensive to raise, and even though most of our beef is grass-fed up to a point, then it goes to the feedlots. It's not 100% on grain. That would actually be too expensive. But with low demand, and of course only a few producers, and they have expenses, and so it keeps the cost relatively high. But when you think of the yield out of it, a lamb roast, I mean, it's very lean meat, very good protein. And as I say, the flavor is mild. New Zealand, big competition from New Zealand, and theirs is 100% grass-fed. You see the racks a lot. That's the most expensive part. Everybody likes the rack of lamb, and New Zealand's able to sell off the other parts to other countries over there, so the racks can come here, and that's a little bit of, in Australia also, that's a little bit of price competition. But really, I think, you know, this generation, they say what, almost 40% of the population in this country hasn't even tasted lamb, and maybe you wouldn't even know it if you had. As I say, the amount of fat that I think when people used to cook lamb, if you trim off the outside fat there, you really don't get that what was called like a gamey flavor. And there are nice ways to other ways to prepare it rather than just roasting it or just eating lamb chops or lamb racks. And maybe if you had a leg of lamb for dinner and you had a little bit left over, there's also some ways to use that. But really, when you think about it, you know, ground lamb for a burger, really, a little tasty morsel there. And burgers seem to be the hot thing right now. I would say lamb for a burger or meatball, very good and very nice and lean. You don't have to worry about, you know, the ground lamb is not too much fat in it. And they eat their, it's grass-fed. You're not worrying about grain and fertilizer. I mean, very eco-friendly. So we've got a break for a couple of messages, but we'll talk about some stuff for spring and look at what we can do with our leftover ham and lamb, Chef Bill's Table.
Rab Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 37 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently been named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisal, sales, and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof, and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investor, Rab Coins has been for numismatists since 1974. Founder and owner, Randy Block, an expert numismatist, has been an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntingChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunterdon Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunterdon Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntingChamberRadio.com app today.
Back at the table, Chef Bill's Table here at HuntingChamberRadio.com, talking about what we can do with maybe our dinner or brunch leftovers. We made a nice soup for Easter, and usually we'll do a cream of asparagus or an asparagus puree just to kind of signal the coming of spring. And asparagus should be, well, usually the season is pretty early and quick on it, so right now it's very good. Well priced right now, at least for us. So what we decided is to mix it up a little bit. So we used some English peas, which normally you're going to get frozen. Very difficult to find fresh peas. They've got to be consumed as soon as they're picked. They really deteriorate pretty quickly. They lose their flavor just like corn does. Peas are probably even more sensitive to that time lag. They kind of lose their sweetness. And spinach. So we used all three. And, of course, with the asparagus, you need to snap the stalks there. The thick part that's a little hard, we can make some broth with that. But spinach, always available. And, of course, that's one of the early greens that come out, too, baby spinach. So it was the asparagus and some nice, clean spinach and some peas. Now we simmer that. Of course, you always start with a little bit of onion, for a little for some sweetness and a little depth in there. You can use a chicken broth, which we did, or if you want to keep it vegetarian, you could probably just use water. Just make sure that then you've got to season it a little bit more aggressively. You may even want a little celery or something in there. Now, you're going to puree this, so really it doesn't matter how you cut things. You just want them to cook evenly, so you try to dice things about the same size. So we simmered it, and then also we try to do now with vegetable purees, because they will naturally thicken a little bit anyway when you put them, either put them in the blender or the food processor or use the immersion blender. But we peel and dice some potato and cook that along with the vegetables. If you want, you can cook it separately. The idea is use the potato to thicken it. Of course, you get starch coming off the potato in the water, but when you puree it, you've got a little nice thickener for the soup, good body to it, just like if you thicken a beef sauce with braised carrots. That's one of my favorite to sweeten and add some color and some body to the sauce. But pureed potato with it now, of course, keeps it gluten-free. You don't have to worry about the floury taste of making a roux and a, you know, like your standard cream sauce recipe. And we adjusted it, actually used very little dairy in it, very little cream. It comes out a brilliant green when it's done. And just salt and pepper. And really, you know, if you want to put garlic in there, that's fine. You don't have to. Trying to think of maybe basil. Fresh basil would work in there, of course, with the spinach. A little touch of mint. I'm thinking of the seasonings that would highlight some of the vegetables in there. But barring that, even without any particular spice or herb in there, it's very good. So it might be something to try. Good instead of the, of course, we're done the split pea we run in the wintertime. That would actually be a good use for your ham bone if you have a, if you've got one of your supermarket hams with the bone in there. Always save that to cook in some pea soup or some bean soup. And any shreds of meat that are on it, of course, are going to flavor that soup. You don't need to use your chicken broth or anything like that. You've got a good ham bone. And it will provide a little bit of salt also. So what we're going to do now, so we have this nice soup. So what to do with leftovers? Now, either roast lamb or ham. Obviously, you can make a sandwich. You could make a nice main dish salad. And again, I think fresh spinach comes to mind, or spinach and arugula, or even some spring mix. Spinach should be the star, though. And this, a nice spinach salad. Now, leftover ham, of course, some nice julienne strips are all you need. If you're using leftover lamb, and hopefully you kept it on the medium rare side, again, nice thin slices of it, sometimes would benefit from a marinade in a light dressing, and then toss it with your salad. So let the meat marinate for a little while. Just you would do it. You could do it with cold beef, any red meat like that. A little bit of marinating in a light vinaigrette would help. Chopped egg, if you have some eggs left from the Easter egg hunt, provided they haven't been sitting out too long. Standard garnish for a spinach salad, some nice fresh mushrooms, and you'd have a nice main dish salad with your leftover roasts. My thought, though, with the lamb is for Lamb Sloppy Joe. Had it in New York recently. It was on, I think, because the restaurant had a lamb entree. So, and it wasn't ground lamb. Normally your Sloppy Joe, except in northern New Jersey, of course, where it's a sandwich. But for most of us, a Sloppy Joe is kind of a take on the loose meat sandwich. It's in a little bit of, like a sweet and sour sauce. You know, it's tomato sauce, a little ketchup, Worcestershire. Our secret was always a little chili sauce. The standard red chili sauce. Not, it doesn't have to be anything really spicy. although you can spice this up. Nice thing with using lamb is you can put a little bit of that, well, you use a little chili powder, so it's got the cumin, the oregano in there. I mean, it's got all the flavors that work well with lamb. Now, if I was going to do this, of course, dice the leftover roast very small. You could even pulse it in a food processor. I know in the days when we had a little hand grinder, if you made hash or something like that from leftover roast, you just put it through the coarse blade of the meat grinder. Food processor will kind of emulate that now. Because grinding will tenderize. If you choose to just mince it very small pieces, I would recommend cooking it for a little while in some liquid. And it could be as easy as a little bit of water or wine if you want. Water would be fine, or broth. But you want to braise it a little while longer so that the meat's tender, but you want to make it a little bit more tender. Unless you're, you know, it's like when you're making chili, sometimes people rush it, even with ground meat. It's got to cook for a while and soften up. Good ragu, good bolognese, same thing. It's a few hours of cooking rather than just do it quickly. So with the sloppy joe, again, if you see your recipes and call for a little bit of ketchup, try replacing some of that ketchup with the red chili sauce. Some people put some peppers in it anyway. Then you got nice potato roll. I mean, you've got a nice sandwich. And it's something you could make ahead, store it, heat it up. It wouldn't be a bad sauce on a hot dog either if you wanted like a kicked up chili dog. Have a nice hot dog or even a coney, a nice white Weisswurst or Bockwurst with a sloppy joe. But lamb sloppy joe, I liked it. The flavor comes through a little bit better than beef. And even if you didn't have any lamb left over, get some ground lamb and try it. That's a, you know, we always think, you know, burgers, things like that. But really, the sloppy joe is a pretty good way to use up leftover. And then, of course, the standard, the shepherd's pie. And especially if you had some mashed potatoes left, and I hope whenever you make them, I hope you always make a little bit extra because it does make a good topping for this. But here's one where you have your cubed lamb, you have some of your gravy left over. You've got, you know, you can add some fresh vegetables to it if you want. Carrots and peas would be probably standard. Or you could use green beans, you know, use maybe the last of your root vegetables if you like. That's kind of in the transition now between the fall and winter root vegetables and getting something going for spring here. But you're mixing this all together and spread your mashed potatoes. Even if you didn't have any left, make some fresh. It's worth it. And then you're going to bake it in the oven. So that long cooking in the oven, it'll brown the potatoes a little bit on the top. But also you want to rebraise that roast so it's nice and tender. Yeah, so there's uses for your roast. I found, of course, you try to buy the right size roast for the crowd you're serving, but you know sometimes you know a ham is what it is in weight, and a leg of lamb, unless you get a 3/4 leg. Another thought: if you were going to use lamb, let's say there's only 4 of you, if you can. From your butcher, if you have a bone-in leg of lamb, you can get nice steaks. You usually get about 2 or 3 out of a leg, right down in the thick part there. It's the leg, it's the round, but very tender. And we sold them, used to sell them years ago, called a lamb sirloin. So it comes from the upper part of the leg, more toward the sirloin. And you can get 2 or 3 or maybe 4 nice steaks out of a leg, and then the rest of it could be roasted. Get 2 uses out of it, and the lamb sirloin, we just treated them like on the grill like a regular steak, and we always like mango chutney along with it. Those little fruit flavors and a little bit of spice goes well with lamb. You know, don't get that that green apple mint jelly. That's not really what it's supposed to be. A nice mint sauce is different, but not that green colored jelly. Don't recommend that. We've got a break for news and weather. Well, not weather, just news. A couple of messages. And we'll be back at the table. We'll see what to do with our ham or anything that we had left from Easter dinner or brunch. Or start fresh. It's all good stuff. Chef Bill's Table.
USA Radio News with John DeMaster.
Belgian authorities renew their calls for help in finding a suspect in last week's deadly Brussels bombing. The man in white is who they're looking for, and he's shown in security video pushing a loaded baggage cart alongside two suicide bombers who died in the attack on the airport last Tuesday. Four Americans are among the 35 people killed. A terrorist group linked to the Taliban claiming responsibility for Sunday's suicide bombing in the Pakistani city of Lahore. At least 65 people killed, another 280 wounded in the blast at a public park. Most of the victims, women and children who were Christians. Many families at the park celebrating Easter are now 3 days of mourning underway in Pakistan. Republican presidential frontrunner Donald Trump bashing the president's willingness to allow refugees into the United States, telling Fox News the current administration's open-door policy could lead to the downfall of America. This is USA Radio News.
Hey, it's Rusty Humphreys, host of Trending Today USA, where we feature the biggest and the best and the brightest trending stories in the world. One of the places I go first every single day is WesternJournalism.com. Chris Agee's here. He's the managing editor of WesternJournalism.com. What makes WesternJournalism.com so special?
Well, Rusty, I think it is very special. We bring you the news as it actually happens. We're one of the places that you can come for the facts, and they're backed up by what's actually happening out there.
You know, a lot of websites, they deal in rumor and innuendo. You guys are really dealing in journalism, is that right?
Oh, absolutely. And there's no question that we're going to bring you pro-American news. I mean, we're going to bring you stuff that makes you proud of the freedoms that we have. And we back up the Constitution every step of the way, but that doesn't influence our reporting. Our reporting is the truth, is 100% accurate.
Make sure you check it out. One of the best websites in the world, WesternJournalism.com. That's WesternJournalism.com.
Rab Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 37 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently been named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisal, sales, and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof, and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investor, Rab Coins has been for numismatists since 1974. Founder and owner, Randy Block, an expert numismatist, has been an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875.
Back at the table here, Chef Bill, looking at some repurposing, I guess is the word that used in the culinary arena now. Repurposing. So leftovers, even lamb, to keep it in its original form. Let's say you have some roast left, and you say, the roast is very good. You know, I want to heat it up. What do I do? It's tough to reheat the whole roast. You could probably do it wrapped in foil at a low temperature. and it wouldn't be too bad, although it would kind of, you know, would kind of steam it. What you can do is heat it over some chopped cooked greens. Now, this, I saw this technique, it reminds me of, we used to heat a slice of prime rib up this way, but days before microwaves, which, I guess, when I started in restaurants, there weren't microwaves back in the 60s. I think we were in the experimental stage, but restaurants, as a rule, did not have them. So we would take a little bit of the beef juice and put lettuce leaf over the slice of prime rib and put it in the oven, and it would cook through. The lettuce would keep the meat from getting too dull gray. The top would still look, you know, medium rare or medium, and the piece of meat would be heated through. You could do something similar with a thin slice of roast. Some chopped greens, it could be chicory, could be romaine, could be spinach, and mix it with some of your sauce. You'll blanch the greens, make a puree. So you make a bed of this green sauce, if you will, good moisture in it, and you can lay the strips of lamb right on top of this, put it in, of course, in a skillet, and you could heat it on the stovetop for just a few minutes. Cover it for a little bit. You are kind of steaming it, but you don't want to steam it to the point where the meat is gray. Just have it steam through from the bottom and heat the roast through. And that wouldn't be a bad way to do it if you like the roast in its, you know, kind of like its original form. But no matter what, lamb bears some looking at. I know, as I say, it seems expensive, but if you compare it to other proteins and the fact that it's very lean, very good for you, might not be as much of a treat as you think it is. As I say, I would compare a leg roast to, you know, something like a sirloin roast of beef, which could run you some money. Now with the ham, hopefully you bought a good ham. We found a real nice one this year. Not a lot of water in it. This is of course, the issue. Sometimes the cheaper hams have a lot of, we call pump, they have water in them. Some of the boneless ones, of course, have, they're not really, if they're too perfect to shape, like a round cylinder, you know, there's some ground up meat in there holding things together. You look for the most natural shape you can for a ham. Now, if you had a brunch and you had, let's say you made a big omelet or a big batch of scrambled eggs and you had some scrambled eggs left for whatever reason, you don't throw those out. When you're doing a fried rice, actually, the way we do it, we always start with a little bit of beaten egg first. So if you have some cooked egg, I mean, by all means, hang on to it. Egg's good protein. And you could do a fried rice with either your leftover ham or even the lamb if you like. Usually when you get to your takeout, you can get a shrimp fried rice, a pork fried rice. But we make it. I know my guys, I showed them how to make it. You need, obviously, cooked cold rice. You can't use fresh rice for fried rice. You have to have some steamed rice that's already chilled down. But we use a little bit of prosciutto, which is kind of close to probably a Chinese ham in the flavor. It's not really smoked that like our smoked ham, but minced meat in the fried rice is good. So you have your chopped egg, and of course you have your onion, scallion. Usually we use that, and some garlic and ginger. Want to throw that in there. And that you would fry first. If you're using fresh egg, of course, a little beaten egg, stir fry that, take it out of the wok. Then you get your aromatics, onion or scallion, garlic, ginger. And at that point, if you want to brown your protein, you could do that, your little minced ham or lamb in there. and then you have to add your rice. Now, you need a fairly high temperature for this. You want to fry that rice. We will use a little bit of soy. Now, to get that yellow color, probably, if you like, a little... I know when I make a paella, you know, if you don't have any saffron, you use a little turmeric. Is always it's a strong flavor. You don't want too much in there. A little tiny bit will give you that nice yellow color if you like. Turmeric and paprika I usually will use like in a arroz con pollo, dishes like that. But a good fried rice is a base for something else. If you have just a little bit of that protein left, not a bad idea. Or if you make the fried rice without the egg and then make the egg the main event, serve the fried rice with some fried eggs, a couple of poached eggs. You do a fried rice, you could always have, I know when my guys in the kitchen do it, they'll make a pilaf or some kind of rice dish and always have some beans on the side, avocado and a little bit of egg, a couple of poached or fried eggs. Make a meal out of it, but fried rice might be a good use of some of your leftovers. And speaking of pilaf, of course, with those minced pieces, you could also make a stuffing. And the stuffing could be with breadcrumbs, it could be even with rice if you like. And take some zucchinis. Fairly small zucchinis. You'll cut them in half lengthwise, and with the edge of a teaspoon, I always like to scoop out the seeds. Now, if you have small zucchinis, of course, leave the ends on. You have little, what you have is little boats to hold this vegetable or this lamb or ham stuffing. And when you're making the stuffing, of course, you're going to add some other vegetables. You have your onion and celery, carrot, whatever else, but you have them minced very small. Onion and celery would be fine. Then you have your roast, leftover roast, which is ham or lamb. Moisten it a little bit. Some broth. Seasonings. You know, you may not need salt with the ham, but definitely with the lamb, salt, pepper. You want to put a little garlic in there. And make a nice stuffing for zucchini. So you've got a little protein. You've got either the breadcrumbs or you've got the rice pilaf. You could also blanch cabbage leaves, especially if you mix these vegetables into a rice. And I would bind it with an egg just to hold it together. But you could make your little stuffed cabbage rolls. Blanch the cabbage leaf, the outside leaves of green cabbage. Even use a Savoy cabbage if you can find it. It's a little bit softer. And make your little packets there with a meat stuffing. Now, the other thing I would use it for, especially ham, I always like to put some in some barbecue baked beans. And whether you start from scratch with the beans, soaking your own and cooking them a long time, or if you choose one of your favorite ready-made products, which are, you know, you got so many options out there. Unbelievable how many kinds of flavors and types of beans. But we'd like them with a little, some kind of smoked meat in there, and ham is perfect for that, and a little barbecue sauce. And now you've got maybe your first cookout coming this weekend. You know, the weather's warm. It's spring. Barbecue beans, put your ham right in there. Even if you're making a big pot, use the bone and everything. Get those beans cooked ahead, and then you've got something for your first grill out of the season. We've got a break for a couple of messages here, and we'll be back at the table.
At Crown Trophy of Flemington, we have thousands of products for you to choose from. Whether you're looking for trophies, plaques, or corporate awards, Crown Trophy of Flemington is your one-stop shop. We feature acrylic and crystal awards and promotional products for any occasion. We build and engrave all awards right on site. And we're a leading supplier of varsity jackets for local sports teams. We provide quality customer service and great pricing. Crown Trophy of Flemington is conveniently located in the Staples Shopping Center in Flemington. Crown Trophy of Flemington, we're trophies and a whole lot more.
When it matters most, our award-winning team of emergency physicians and nurses provides sophisticated care 24 hours a day. Superior emergency care at a moment's notice. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care.
Back at the table here, Chef Bill's table, looking at what to do with if we had anything left from our Easter dinner, our ham and lamb. Now, jambalaya, of course, comes to mind. Word comes from the jambon, from the Spanish for ham. So obviously ham should be an ingredient in this. Now, most of them, you know, they're spicy. It's New Orleans, Cajun, Creole, or a mix of, well, I guess it'd be more Cajun. You can make a jambalaya. Spice is good. The ham, if you need to, if it wasn't a spicy ham, we just add a little bit of our Cajun spice to it. And that kind of kicks the heat up a little bit. So you can really make a jambalaya. Again, the andouille sausage is nice in there, or any sausage you like. Chicken is good. Oftentimes at the restaurant, when we will do ham, andouille, and chicken, and then add a little bit of shrimp to it. You could do crawfish tails. We kind of mix up the two. But it doesn't have to have seafood. It is nice, though, if you can find a little bit of small shrimp there. Crawfish, or I guess season should be on. I mean, it might be tough to find them in the northern markets. If you can find cooked crawfish, get the tails and use those. But a lot of it could probably be just frozen imported stuff, which, yeah, you might as well use some fresh shrimp. So with the jambalaya, again, really measuring is pretty important as far as the liquid and the rice. Because of the jambalaya, we really don't like to disturb it that much once it's cooking. Just like a pilaf, any kind of dish like that. Once your liquid comes to a simmer, we cover it and we don't touch it. So oftentimes when you start stirring, and I've been guilty of it, many of us, we chefs do this. We tend to poke and tweak and got to check it. Is it done? Is it overdone? You have to trust your measurements. Err on the side of caution. I think undercooking would be a little better than overcooking. Rice can always sit and steam a little bit more and set up. I know when we do paellas, get to that point where you don't stir it anymore. And you just let it cook. And, of course, the thing people look for, the soca, the kind of brown rice that sticks to the pan, is the treat. But jambalaya, I'm not sure we really want that. Of course, there is tomato product in there. You've got your Trinity, onions, peppers, and celery. And then some broth. But you saute your meats. I would put seafood in after the rice comes to a simmer. But similar like making a paella, except you're not doing it open. You're doing it covered. And again, tomato product, spice. Don't forget salt. Rice loves salt. It's hard to season rice at the end. So you make sure you have enough up front to taste the broth that you're using. Make sure you can taste a little salt in there. Make sure your rice gets enough salt. Because if you do stir it, now, the very thing, say, a risotto, part of it, I mean, it's part of it's the starchiness of the rice, but what makes it creamy is that stirring kind of releases some of that starch. And so you have something that's a little soupy and creamy rather than distinct rice grains like you do in a pilaf or a jambalaya or a paella. So important not to stir too much. The rice, I've always found, you know, converted rice is fine for that. If you have a favorite medium or long grain rice, that's fine too. I don't think I'd use sushi rice for it, but your medium or long grain rice is good for a jambalaya. And they say that, you know, seafood can add toward the end. The other thing, if it does happen to be a little bit too dry, you can always serve it with a nice Creole sauce that you could mix in afterwards if you like. But it really should be like a rice pilaf. It shouldn't be like a rice soup. It should be fairly tight. Along the line of that, I think it was a recipe I found with Chef Paul Perdome's book years ago. Still one of my favorites. With oysters and ham for pasta. And of course, you could do a pasta with, again, your mushrooms, some greens, or ham and peas. You know, an Alfredo, if you want a little bit of cheese sauce, that always seems to work. Or a cream sauce. Julienne ham would be good in a dish like that. I like this oysters and ham, though. You have nice strips of ham. And here's where, again, you use a little bit of the Cajun spice. What we'll do is saute the ham in a little butter, whole butter, so I do want it to brown a little bit. And sprinkle some of your Cajun spice on there. And let the ham get, a little crispy. And then we add a handful of scallions, green and white parts, and stir that briefly just to wilt those a little. You don't want them to brown too much. Then you add your cream and let it reduce. Now, meantime, you have oysters, whether you've shucked them yourself or bought them already shucked. When the cream's reducing, you want to add a little bit of that oyster liquor also. Little juice that comes off them, but save the oysters till the end. The idea is you get the sauce fairly thick. You can actually do a couple of pats of whole butter, unsalted butter in there, and the sauce will almost look like it's starting to break, almost like the fat's coming out of it, and that's when you can add the oysters. And basically at that point, I turn the heat off and just let the heat of the sauce cook the oysters. It's going to thin the sauce out a little bit. You don't really need cheese in there. It's got enough flavor from the oysters. And simply serve that with a fresh pasta, fettuccine or linguine. You can use the dry if you like, but the fresh pots is nice because you can start cooking the pasta when you start making the sauce. It just comes together relatively quickly. But your pasta with oysters and ham. And, of course, the crowning glory, and I've actually made this. You have your croque monsieur, your grilled ham and cheese. But I like the croque madame. I like it with the fried egg. You turn it into a nice meal. Something, you have a vegetable or a salad alongside this, and you have your thinly sliced ham. You get a good cheese, you know. I mean, people can use Swiss, Munster, but a good Gruyere would be nice. Good semi-firm cheese. Although, combination of Swiss and Munster isn't bad either. The Munster is a little soft, a little buttery. So you have your, basically, and good bread. So you're going to saute this slowly, brown both sides. But you want to do it nice and slow, let the cheese melt. And then you'll have a fried egg, or poached egg, whichever you like. Fried egg would probably be okay. And put the egg on top. And then, if that wasn't enough, make a nice cheese sauce to go on top of that, a Mornay. So that's a bechamel that has some shredded Gruyere and or Parmesan in it. It doesn't have to be as thick or heavy as an Alfredo. You just want a little, you know, a little cheese flavor in it. And then sometimes people will brown this under a broiler, kind of make a glaçage over the egg, and that's it's a pretty rich dish. But a grilled ham and cheese croque madame with an egg on top and a cheese sauce, good hearty main dish, and can if you have some nice slices of ham, would be worth it. And if you like, also a nice ham candy, just as an afterthought to leave you with, if you want ham, got a ham for dessert. But we've done our glazed bacon. I do it minus the James Beard's old one with the red wine vinegar and brown sugar and then a little Dijon mustard. But ham slices candy well also. I saw one dark corn syrup, some orange juice, and again a little mustard. You have a heat that in the pan or in the oven. And just keep turning the ham over in the glaze or keep brushing it on. And once that sugar or syrup gets to that hard crack stage, you know, the meat's not going to cook anymore, but it just, you want it to be fairly firm when it cools off. But could be, you know, we do everything with bacon. Now what's wrong with ham? I've taken thin slices of Canadian bacon and wrapped oysters with them to get some nice plump oysters to make angels on horseback. Instead of the bacon, I used Canadian bacon, which you could use a thin sliced ham for, and it comes out perfectly fine. Don't have to worry about undercooking or overcooking the bacon or having it too fatty, so lots of uses for ham out there. We've got to sign off. It's getting up to the top of the hour. Chef Bill, I got to run. We'll talk next week, explore some other food celebrations, hopefully some good ones coming up in April. Chef Bill's Table, signing off.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with John DeMaster.
Belgian authorities renew their calls for help in finding a suspect in last week's deadly Brussels bombing. The man in white is who they're looking for, and he's shown in security video pushing a loaded baggage cart alongside two suicide bombers who died in the attack on the airport last Tuesday. Four Americans are among the 35 people killed. A terrorist group linked to the Taliban claiming responsibility for Sunday's suicide bombing in the Pakistani city of Lahore. At least 65 people killed, another 280 wounded in the blast at a public park. Most of the victims, women and children who were Christians. Many families at the park celebrating Easter are now 3 days of mourning underway in Pakistan. Republican presidential frontrunner Donald Trump bashing the president's willingness to allow refugees into the United States, telling Fox News the current administration's open-door policy could lead to the downfall of America. This is USA Radio News.
Have you been to USARadio.com? The latest breaking stories, the hottest news, and the best radio all in one place. It's available.